All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Healing Codes Thursday afternoon open forum coaching teleconference. Actually, it's a Thursday evening. Excuse me. My name is Bindu Johnson, and on behalf of the Healing Codes, I welcome you to this call. Today in this hemisphere, it is March 28, 2019, and everything on this call is being recorded. This recording will be available to registered members as a download from our website, thehealingcodes.com. The main purpose of this call is to answer questions about doing the Healing Codes process. Uncertainty about doing it right might slow down our progress. So ask your questions and know that they'll help you and also help others who are on this call or who will listen to this call. So another purpose is to validate people who want to tell us of their successes using healing codes. These stories encourage all of us to do this work. When you hear your own peers describe their own efforts, challenges, and successes, you can more easily form pictures of your ultimate success. Also, if you're doing the healing codes, but you're not getting the results that you want, raise your hand and let us know. Sometimes, you know, when we have a dialogue with you, we can offer you suggestions that might impact the results you're getting from your codes. Our disclaimer is that the healing codes are not intended to diagnose, treat, or heal any physical or mental condition or its symptoms. The healing code deals with issues of the heart, and it is on the spiritual issues that we focus our attention. The opinions that I express are my own opinions. If they serve you, great. If not, you can simply let them go. So, and if you have a question that you want to ask, just press star two or raise your hand. If you're on the webcast, there's a chat box or a Q&A, so you can put your question in either one of those. So let's start off by doing the universal code together as a group. So just take some long, deep breaths to start with. And as you breathe, just let your body begin to soften and relax. With each breath, just imagine breathing in the fresh, clean oxygen. As you exhale, letting go of any tension that might be hanging on from your day. Breathe in and just breathe in the present moment awareness of your body and your breath. And as you exhale, let go of any thoughts about tomorrow and what it might bring. Take a few more breaths and just focus on being present with the experience of breathing. And in this quiet place, take a moment and just ask your heart, what is it that I would like to heal or shift in my experience? And just notice what comes up for you when you ask that question. And as you look at that issue or challenge, notice a few things about it. Notice what the situation is. And notice your thoughts about it. How do you think about that? Notice if your thoughts about it are predominantly positive or predominantly negative. Not that either is right or wrong, but we're just noticing what is, without judgment. And as you continue to breathe, when you think about this challenge, notice how you feel. Notice if you feel uplifted or discouraged or sad or angry or frightened or impatient. And notice what the predominant emotion is that you feel. Maybe you have something that I didn't list. And as you think about this and feel that emotion, notice if there's any earlier memories that come to mind that you have that same emotion. When have you felt this way before in your past? And as you reflect on that, notice where does this challenge reside in your body? Notice if you feel a corresponding sensation in your body, like a tightness in your throat or a headache or a tummy ache or an ache or a pain in an arm or a leg. So then we have the issue, we have the thought, we have the emotions, we have the memories, and we have physical sensations. Take a moment and just be present with the full experience of this challenge, acknowledging all pieces of the puzzle. Take a look at that early memory, if you have one, and notice what belief systems maybe you created from that experience, beliefs about yourself, life, others, or God. When we have a thought and we create a belief, a conclusion, or a belief system out of that thought, kind of creates a cement that locks us into place. Freezes us in that experience. And as you reflect on this, take a moment and ask yourself, what is it that I would like to experience? How would I like to feel? Start with that. How would I like to feel instead of how I am feeling? A good sense of the feeling that you would like to have. And as you feel that feeling, notice if you have any earlier memories from your past that you felt that way. So if you're feeling sad and you want to feel happy, maybe you had a moment where you felt happy in your life. And now think of a truth focus statement that you would like to create that sort of embodies that feeling. When you say it, you feel that feeling inside, or another positive feeling. And make a note of that and write it down. Or remember it in some way. Now we're going to do the universal code on this. And as I say the prayer, when I get into the space where you put your issue, you're going to use a few words to represent the issue that you want to heal. If you could be healing the issue itself or a particular memory. And then as we do the healing code, you can focus on the feeling, the emotion that you wanted to feel. If you can just generate that, some people can. You can focus on the picture that you created where you felt that feeling before, as long as it helps you to feel that feeling. Or thirdly, you can focus on the truth focus statement, or you can actually use all three. All righty. So, I request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, whether imagined, witnessed, dreamed, experienced, absorbed, or inherited from other time, space, dimensions, and all physical issues related to, put in your issue, be found, open, and healed by infusing me with the light and love of God. I also ask the effectiveness of this healing code be increased to the highest level for my greatest good at this time, and that the healing be made gentle and easy. And then bring both hands to the bridge. Breathe. Bring your fingertips and point them at the Adam's apple. Let's continue to breathe. Using the truth focus statement, the feeling, or the love picture, or all three. fingertips to the jaws. And point them at the temple. Bring your fingertips to the bridge. Bring your fingertips to the Adam's apple. Bring your fingertips to the jaws. Bring your fingertips to the temples. Bring your fingertips to the bridge. Bring your fingertips to the Adam's apple. Fingertips to the jaws. their fingertips to the temples. And let your hands just rest down by your side. And just breathe for a moment and notice your state of being, knowing, notice your thoughts. Are they the same? Have they changed? Notice your emotions. Notice the memories that you had before. Are they as strong? Do they have the same level of charge? Same thing with the emotions. Does the emotion you felt have the same charge? Notice the physical sensations that you identified and notice if they are still strong as they were, or maybe they've gotten less. And think about the issue again. Does it bother you to the same degree as it did before? And just take another breath. And if you have any questions or comments about the experience, just press star 2 and raise your hand. Or if you would just like to share the experience that you had. No questions or comments. Okay, we always have a topic to talk about if nobody has any questions. Let me just check the Q&A in the chat box. Nope, nobody there. Okay, we have a raised hand. Susan. You are unmuted.
Hi, Bindu.
Hi.
Well, since you asked about just that experience just then. Oh, first, I have to say how nice it is to be able to talk to you on a Thursday, because normally I have other commitments on Thursdays and I can't make this call. I enjoy listening to the recordings, but it's nice to be here with you.
Thank you.
What I really enjoyed doing the Universal Code just now was just being able to, because I'm kind of half reclining on my couch, the breathing, just the nice deep breathing. Because with the coding I have been doing and the trilogy, you move so fast through the trilogy things that I tend to not think about focusing on breathing while I'm doing that. So that was just a pleasant aspect of it tonight for me.
Right.
very relaxing. But I did have something. I thought, well, if it's going to be a quiet night for Bindu, is there anything I can think of that we might like to talk about? And I do kind of have a curious question that maybe you can elaborate on for me. And the work I'm doing with my coach, as a coach, you know, they bring up hidden memories. They're trained, you know, to find mm-hmm. memories that I'm not cognizant of consciously. And I've been working with my coach for a long time, and we've done quite a lot of these. And she's able to kind of analyze the memories and often rate them. And I've had many, because, as I said, we've been working for a long time, I've had many that as far as being destructive cellular memories, are top 10. And recently, the issue that we were addressing in my last coaching session, there were two that were considered top 10 as far as their impact on my stress levels, on my psyche. I guess that's what the top 10 means. I mean, you know better than I, actually. But what was fascinating to me about these two memories, and that brings up a question, is these memories had to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I actually do have a conscious memory of. And everything mm-hmm. about that memory that's conscious has always been a cherished memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so my query sort of, is it possible to have had an experience that becomes a memory that
mm-hmm.
can be a top 10, that aspects of it that when you actually have the experience of aspects of it, you have a negative response to, but that other aspects of it could be a top 10 positive memory for you? Because that's the way these two are seeming to me. And it's just been it's a curiosity to me, and I'd kind of like you to expound on that a little, if you could.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly think a memory can have both positive and negative parts to it. Sometimes we think, have you ever had mixed feelings about something?
Yeah.
And when you have mixed feelings, do you feel confused? Because, like, how can I have both a positive, and especially if one's a positive and one's a negative feeling about this same thing?
Sure.
That there proves that one experience can have both negative and positive associations
yeah.
with it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is certainly,
you know,
the way
say
I
say that you have. Go ahead.
That is certainly the way I chose to look at these two. The more I considered the memories, and did a little work with my own subconscious to find out a few more details about them, and I thought, I really was almost shocked to think that they were destructive cellular memories, and yet there must have been things in my heart at the time of the experience that misread the circumstance or it misinterpreted the circumstance. It makes me think of and one of the custom trilogy little videos that Alex does. He talks about taking the lie out of the memory. Because ultimately, I think both of these experiences that were found as memories, ultimately, I think they were wonderful for me. And I'm so glad to have I have a great coach that she found them, so I could take the negative, heal the negative aspect of them, take the lies out of them, and the positiveness of these experiences, because they did involve God, could remain.
So in those memories that you had, was there kind of a negative experience along with that positive experience that you had when you thought about them?
It was hard for me to think of them in a negative way at all.
But you said that maybe you misread or misinterpreted them, or maybe there was some kind of negative belief that came up around them.
Yeah, and I did. I began to understand why there would have been a destructive element to these cellular memories because of a lot of old negative thoughts of unworthiness and not being good enough and all those kind of things that when you're standing before God, you just think, I am not worthy. Because these memories were centered around.
So there was a belief that says I'm not worthy.
Yeah, and it must have been much stronger than, especially the one I was a little older. This the second memory, and I do remember the experience, and I know by that time in my life I didn't like myself very much, and so I didn't think God would either. And yet that one, because I do remember it, has been a cherished memory because it was one of my first, as a young person, it was one of my first realizations that I had some kind of a hunger for God. That's why it's important to me, because I have.
So it sounds like you experienced a hunger for God, and yet at the same time there was something in you that said that I'm not worthy of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just thought I would bring that up to see what you had to say about a memory being both a top 10 positive and top 10 negative all at the same time.
Yeah, well, what you said there is a perfect example. I had this awesome or positive experience connected with God, but at the same time, I felt unworthy. So there's a good example of having a positive experience and yet having a negative aspect to it, the negative aspect. And it also begs the question of why do I feel unworthy? And maybe there's another cellular memory under that one too that might be need to be healed the next time around.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and unworthiness specifically connected to God, you know.
Yeah. we have been working on a lot of that over time.
Okay.
I'm happy to say.
Good. So. Sounds like she's doing a good job with you.
She is. She is. So that's all I thought of to bring up tonight.
The other thought that I had as you were sharing is that, you know, oftentimes Alex says that oftentimes a memory can become a negative memory because of the interpretation we make on it, not because of the incident itself. You know,
yeah.
Some examples is Alex's popsicle story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where the girl's mother said, you can't have an popsicle now, and the girl made this conclusion that because her mother wouldn't give her a popsicle and she gave her sister a popsicle, somehow she wasn't as good at. So the experience in itself was neutral. I mean, you know, couldn't be terribly that horribly traumatic for your mother to say, no, you have to wait until after you eat your dinner before you can have a hot popsicle. But the interpretation of, well, she doesn't love me as much as my sister, that's what gives it the charge, you know.
Right, right. And as especially when we're children, we don't have the same perspectives on it. Life is very kind of black and white when we're children, so it's very easy to misinterpret a situation.
Right.
And then that gets stuck there as the destructive part of the memory.
Yeah, that's that unhealthy belief. I mean, Alex more recently has shared an experience he had with his dad where his dad had just found out something about, I don't know, some kind of heart or physical illness or medical thing, and he was really upset about it, and Alex came in and asked him something, and he yelled at him. You know, and he said his father was never like that, but Alex took that personally and meant it to mean that there was something wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, as he was older and he understood that, you know, his father was just upset because of this news he had just had. It didn't have anything to do with Alex. So if Alex had interpreted properly that, oh, my father's just upset, this doesn't have anything to do with me, then, you know, the damage wouldn't have been done to the same degree. But because Alex chose that experience said that, oh, this must mean that there's something wrong with me, that it had a huge impact on him. So, yes, the interpretation we make of it and the decisions that we make about ourself, life, or others as a result of those experiences are actually more harmful than the experience itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what the healing code is directed to heal.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Good.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why, you know, when you do a healing code, you know, it's almost like a multidimensional experience because the way I was trained, you know, to work with the healing codes is you look at the memory itself, the emotion you feel, the belief systems that the person created out of it, and any physical sensations. So, you know, when you're addressing all five aspects of it, I think it creates a more powerful resolution. I've even been thinking recently of how important the emotional aspect of our hidden memories are.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, you know, we try to change our beliefs without resolving the issue. And part of resolving the issue is being able to sometimes feel the emotion underneath it. So I think allowing ourselves to feel emotions is an important piece of the healing as well.
That makes sense.
But, you know, like I said, when I guided the experience, is that, you know, you have the issue, you have thoughts, emotions, memories, and physical sensations. And when those thoughts actually harden into conclusions, it almost solidifies you into, it kind of creates a little fort around that memory. Alex has explained this in that when we have a negative experience and we draw a conclusion, my mind just went blank about what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. We, instead of feeling the feeling and letting that move through us, when we draw a conclusion about something, my train of thought left again.
That never happens to me. Losing my train of thought. Never.
Yeah. So, oh, I see. Now I remember. Okay, we often create a conclusion around something because we don't understand the experience and we don't want to feel the emotion. So creating a belief around us kind of protects us from feeling that emotion.
Yeah.
And then in a way that becomes a trap. You know, and like I said earlier, it kind of freezes that negative experience in place. And then so, you know, as we're doing the healing codes, why, you know, we address the issue, the emotions. Emotions are, you know, often the doorway to the hidden memories or the memories, the cellular memories. The thoughts are what block us from feeling our emotions and accessing those hidden memories.
The idea of thoughts, as you were talking, there's a scripture verse that came to mind. I hope it's okay to share on the phone call, that talks about the word of God is for us is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And what it's referring to is mental strongholds. And we build up through our lives mental constructions where we feel safe.
Right.
They can be all built out of lies, but if that's where we're used to running to mentally to feel safe because we've rationalized something, then it's our stronghold. But the paradox is that, and the way the word stronghold is used throughout the scriptures, it can be a place of safety, but on the other hand, a stronghold is a prison.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And this was just kind of coming up in my mind as you were talking about how the the emotions and the thoughts work together into kind of almost making that structure that that we
right.
hold on to. And with the healing codes, if we can learn to to identify the emotions and accept them, and
yes.
then examine the thoughts for their truthfulness, we can
right.
start to pull down the prison stronghold, because we are safe. We don't need it anymore. We are safe in ourselves.
Right.
I hope that made sense.
It makes perfect sense.
That's a little passage of scripture that has always been very poignant to me. From a scriptural or spiritual point of view, there you want to be either if you want to build your life on things that are truth, and so you want to dismantle the strongholds that are built out of lies.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
no,
so that's why.
That's my little my little.
Yeah, well, that's important. I think that's important, and I think that's, you know, sometimes when people get stuck and aren't getting the results they want from the healing codes, you know, to do some deeper looking at the belief systems around the issue, you know, the memory and the emotions and the physical sensations and, you know, taking into account all of them is more effective. So I know some people will do the healing code and they'll just focus on like the physical issue. And yet I think that if they look at the emotion they have underlying that physical issue and the beliefs under that and then the memories under that, they generally get more benefit.
Absolutely. And speaking for myself, I grabbed onto the healing codes because I had a serious physical issue that I had for a long time and wanted to be freed from. But even before the healing codes, but especially as I began them, being willing to take an honest look at myself and my thoughts and my emotions and see what needed house cleaning. and see what strongholds still remained in my thinking patterns.
Right.
I've known that verse for many, many, many years, and I have tried to be honest with myself about it long before I came to the healing codes. But recognizing that now I was going to be beginning to address my subconscious life.
Right.
And that it's like, oh, I know we got a lot of things to dismantle in there.
Right.
And yeah. So again, being willing to be honest with myself and let the stuff surface and not be afraid of when I took the lid off and looked way down at the gunky stuff down there to not be not be reluctant to face myself and to face what I had been causing all my distress for so long anyway. So.
Right. Exactly. And it's always, you know, I mean, these things are under the surface. And yet when we explore them and bring them into the conscious mind and work with the healing codes on them, you know, they dissolve. And, you know, until we know they're there, we don't really understand what's creating all those feelings of stress in our minds.
Yeah.
But after we kind of start looking at what lies under the surface, it's like, oh, no wonder I get angry at that person. Is she mm-hmm. triggering this memory of my mother yelling at me? So no wonder it upsets me. Reminds me of my mother telling me that I'm not good enough or I'm unworthy.
Right.
And then we see in that the lie, which is I'm unworthy or I'm not good enough. And I think beneath 90% of our issues, if we boiled it down, I'm unworthy, I'm not lovable, is probably the core issue of every single person for every single issue that they have.
I agree with you there, definitely. So.
Yeah. So often we think that it's a million other things except for just that underlying belief that says I'm not good enough. And it's so hard for us to truly believe that we're good enough, to truly get that all the way down to the cellular level, you know?
I was just going to say all the way down deep to the bottom of your heart, but you said cellular level, and it's, yeah, it's the same
yeah.
thing, really.
Exactly, yeah. And you just wouldn't think it would be that hard, but it is.
You wouldn't think, but, well, I look at life from a spiritual point of view, and there's a battle on. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think it would be, but that's how the world we live in is pulling us in. It's good and evil, and it all. When we're caught, then we little humans are kind of caught in the middle.
Right. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Well, now we're getting pretty philosophical here, aren't we, Benjamin?
We are. We got philosophical here. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Well, I had no idea where I would be going with it, but it's kind of been fun
yeah.
to let this conversation see where it went.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Any other questions? Comments?
No, that's it for me. Let's see if anybody else wants to chime in.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments? You can press star 2 to raise your hand. Let me check the chat box and the Q&A. All right, so if there's no more questions, we will do a custom guided code. On unworthiness. So take a moment and just take a couple of breaths and think about the word unworthiness. And it can that same quality can be encapsulated by I'm not good enough, I'm bad, I'm wrong, something's wrong with me, I have no value. And you take a few breaths, just notice those parts of you that don't feel worthy. And as you think about that, just notice the physical sensations of your body when you think about unworthiness. And take a breath and just ask yourself if you have any early memories of feeling like of being told either verbally or through a person's actions that you weren't worthy of their love. And maybe it was simply a misinterpretation, a punishment from a parent, and you interpreted that I'm not good enough. And notice how that feels to be told that you're unworthy or you're not good enough or you're bad. And then recall a memory where somebody told you that they loved you or praised you for something. Or just told you that you were an awesome person and they were glad to have your acquaintance. And let those memories come up and notice how that feels when you feel heard, acknowledged, worthy, loved. We're going to do a custom guided code, and the truth focus statement we're going to use is, I am an awesome, I guess it's all women on the call tonight, so we're going to say, I'm an awesome woman filled with unlimited worth and value. And if that doesn't resonate with you, if that sort of drops your energy, then pick something different that lifts your heart, that brings you back to that feeling, or just use that one of those memories of somebody acknowledging or you, of praising you, while we do the code. So you choose the truth focus statement. So the code is going to be both hands jaw. Using whatever love picture or truth focus statement works for you. And then do left hand jaw. Right hand temple. And breathe deeply. And then both hands, temple. And both hands, Adam's apple. And both hands bridge. And then bring your hands and just place one hand on your belly and one hand on your over your heart. And just breathe for a few moments. And let your arms just relax by your sides. And take a moment and just feel. I just realized I forgot to say the prayer, but I think the intention was there. I'm going to say the prayer now. So, dear God, please use the energy of this code to heal my heart and any cellular memories within me that holds the belief that I am in any way, shape, or form unlovable, unacceptable. And remind me of the beautiful, beloved child of God that I truly am. And so may it be. And breathe and just let that seep into your heart. And then as you're ready, just let your eyes open. So thank you all for coming, for being here tonight. As always, it's been a pleasure being with you. If there's any last questions or comments, feel free to raise your hand. And so, if not, I'm just going to open up all the lines. Anybody can say anything they would like. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for your time, Bindu.
You're welcome. Thank you, Susan.
Pleasure to be on the call with you tonight.
It was my pleasure as well.
Great call, Bindu.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.